will. But he's onto something useful. In effect, he's letting his subconscious build his bridge for him. That just might work for you, too. In every situation at the beginning or end of the workday, you have a choice. You can look back, or you can look forward. My advice? Look forward. Always think about the next day. Don't go into the studio thinking, let's see, what was I doing yesterday? It takes more energy to twist yourself around and look back than it does to face forward. If you've been following a don't stop till you drop routine, that is, you only quit when you're totally wiped out, rethink that. This is how ruts form. As an exercise for the next week or so, end your working day when you still have something in reserve. Now ask yourself, exactly what is it that you're putting into reserve? Is it raw energy? Is it desire? Is it a few more ideas left unexplored? Is it something you meant to say to someone but didn't? Whatever it is, describe it in writing on a notepad or index card. Put the note away and don't think about it for the rest of the day. Start the next day by looking at your note. Harry Truman said that whenever he wrote a letter in anger to anyone, he put the letter away in a desk drawer for 24 hours. Then he reread it to make sure he still felt the way he did when he wrote it. It's the same with your note. When you start the next day with the note, you'll be tapping into that reserve from the day before. If it's true, as John Updike writes, that each day we wake slightly altered, and the person we were yesterday is dead, then you will approach the impulse behind the note as a new person. At worst, the note will give you something to start with. More likely, the new you will find a way to improve on it. With methods like these, are grooves formed. 29. Know when to stop tinkering. The poet Paul Valéry said, "A poem is never finished, only abandoned." We all know people who are forever tinkering with their work, editing, refining, redoing, trying to make it perfect, whatever that means. They don't know when to stop. Knowing when to stop is almost as critical as knowing how to start. How do you know when something is not only the best that you can do, but the best that it can be? Some people are lucky in having artificial and arbitrary stop signs that put an end to all their fussing. Writers have deadlines. Playwrights have strictly scheduled openings based on theater availability. Filmmakers have fixed premieres. Painters and sculptors have gallery exhibitions. The calendar tells them when they are finished. It's much trickier when you're working on your own and for your own reasons. Think of the messiest room in your house. One day, you decide to clear the clutter. How do you know when you're done clearing and organizing? In theory, the only perfectly clean room is an empty room. But that doesn't stop you from charging into a room, trashing the unwanted items, putting the books back on the shelves, folding the clothes neatly into their appropriate drawers, putting the papers in their appropriate files, and the pencils and paper clips and floppy disks where they belong. Then you sweep and scrub and dust. If you're really good at this, you have a system for organizing clutter. You allocate resting places for your glasses, keys, wallet, and slippers so you can always find them. You store similar things together. You put things you use most often in the easiest-to-get places. You label boxes so you know what's in them. You arrange your clothes according to color. Eventually, you reach a point where you look around and you're satisfied. There are no loose ends. Everything is in its place, put away or accounted for, or easily accessed. The room exudes order and harmony. When you look around, you're happy. That, more or less, is the feeling you get when it's time to stop. There are no loose ends, no clutter, and all the moving parts of the work are in their proper places. There are no more problems that keep you up at nights, and the solutions feel elegant and inevitable. Remember this the next time you wonder if a piece is finished. If you don't have the feeling that you've straightened out a messy room, keep working. It's a little awkward for me to appreciate this, because a dance doesn't stand still even when you think you've stopped working on it. A book is done when it's published, a film when it's released, a painting when it leaves the artist's studio. A marble sculpture is literally set in stone. But in dance, there is no script to follow and no two performances are alike. The work exists only when it is performed and then repeated. Between performances, it disappears. As its creator, I have to constantly monitor the performances to make sure the audience is getting a reasonable facsimile of what I thought I had finished. In this environment, it's hard to say when you've stopped working on a piece. To force myself to let my creations go, I've developed a ritual that gives me satisfying closure. I name the piece. Attaching a name to the work is always the last thing I do. It's a signal to myself that I finally understand it. As Tracy Kidder wrote in The Soul of a New Machine, good engineers ship. In other words, while perfection is a wonderful goal, there comes a point where you have to let your creation out into the world, or it isn't worth a tinkerer's dream. 30. Brew ruts into grooves. A bad habit, that is, one that doesn't produce good results, is a rut. Coffee is a rut for me. I need a cup or two every morning, and I don't know why. Part of it, I'm sure, is its addictive properties, but I don't enjoy it that much. At one point, I played a game of delaying my daily coffee until I produced something solid that day. No good work, no good coffee. I transformed the coffee from rut to reward. To be honest, this didn't last long. Within a month, I was back into my coffee grind. I don't know, you can't be stoic and strong about everything. Some things in life are just meant to be enjoyed simply because you enjoy them. They are their own rationale. But the mere act of thinking about my coffee rut had a transformative effect. I now regard coffee in a positive light. It's my coffee groove. Pick a bad habit, whether it's coffee or reading the newspaper.